Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Yay, a different land we are, and we come to our book pick segment as we do each and every Tuesday on this program. We talk to authors all the time here, and they say, you know what? My book, it went out into the world, and thank goodness a bookseller, a group of booksellers, took it under their wing, put it in the hands of readers, and it is the success that it is because of these wonderful people. So we try to celebrate these wonderful people each and every week and bring our independent booksellers for throughout the region and to celebrate the independence and have them bring us to new places. Connie Brooks of Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York, does just that. She is here with some wonderful suggestions for this mid to late summer, right? We're not in the dog days yet, but we're getting there.
We're getting there.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good to
Excellent.
Be here.
Good to have you here. So where would you like to begin?
Well, let's see. I brought in some fiction, some nonfiction, and a couple of kids' books.
All right.
I will start with fiction. And there is a new book out by Jacqueline Winspear, which is called The Care and Management of Lies, a Novel of the Great War. Fans of Winspear's Maisie Dobbs mystery series will be familiar with the time period of her new book, but perhaps will be surprised to learn that Winspear has penned a standalone novel. The setting is World War I, and the story focuses on two friends since childhood, Kezia and Thea. Their friendship, however, has become strained by several things, including Thea's embrace of women's suffrage and by the imminent marriage of Kezia to Thea's brother Tom, who runs the family farm. When Kezia and Tom wed just a month before war is declared between Britain and Germany, Thea's gift to Kezia is a book on household management, a veiled criticism of the bride's prosaic life to come. Yet when Tom enlists to fight for his country and Thea is drawn reluctantly onto the battlefield herself, the farm becomes the new bride's responsibility. As Tom marches to the front lines and Kezia battles to keep her ordered life from unraveling, they hide their despair in letters and cards filled with stories woven to bring comfort. Even Tom's fellow soldiers in the trenches enter and find solace in the dream world of Kezia's mouth-watering, albeit imaginary, meals. But are well-intended lies and self-deception any use when one is confronted with the realities of war? The Care and Management of Lies paints a picture of love and friendship strained by the pain of separation and the brutal chaos of battle, with sometimes painful echoes in our own time.
The Care and Management of Lies, a novel of the Great War by Jacqueline Winspear. Next.
Now, another novel. This one is A History of the Future, a World Made by Hand novel by James Howard Kunstler. And we've got Jim coming for an event September 12th. He'll be talking about this new book. And A History of the Future is the third novel in Kunstler's World Made by Hand series, an exploration of family and morality as played out in the small town of Union Grove in upstate New York, which for us up in Cambridge, Union Grove is kind of a blend between Greenwich and Cambridge, so we especially Right. find that fun. But following the catastrophes of the 21st century, pandemics, environmental disasters, the end of oil, the ensuing chaos, people are doing whatever they can to get by and pursuing a simpler and sometimes happier existence. In Little Union Grove, the townspeople are preparing for Christmas. Without the consumerist shopping frenzy that dogged holidays of the previous age, the season has become a time to focus on family and loved ones. But it is a stormy Christmas Eve when Robert Earl's son Daniel arrives back from his 2 years of sojourning throughout what is left of the United States. He collapses from exhaustion and illness, but as he recovers, he tells the story of the breakup of the nation into three uneasy independent regions. In the background, Union Grove has been shocked by the Christmas Eve double murder by a young mother of her husband and infant son. So if you haven't picked up one of Jim's books yet, you would start with The World Made by Hand, followed by The Witch of Hebron, which is the second book in the series. And if you've read those, don't miss his third installment, A History of the Future.
I love these books, and just finished History of the Future.
Excellent.
And look forward to talking to Jim. We're going to have him on our book show, so
Great.
Look forward to that.
Very
so
good.
History of the Future, and the event is on the 12th of September, so mark your calendars now.
Definitely.
Next up on the list.
This is a very fun book. It's called Unruly Places, Lost Spaces, Secret Cities, and Other Inscrutable Geographies, and it's by a man named Alistair Bonnet. Unruly Places is one of those delightful armchair traveler type of books, and it will bring you on a tour of some of the world's most secret, unknown, and mysterious places. In this age of Google Maps and GPS, where you can zoom into street views of most cities and towns in America, it's hard to imagine that there are any uncharted places left on the planet. But Bonnet's book proves otherwise, and it will take you to places such as Sandy Island, an island near Australia, included on maps until just 2 years ago, despite the fact that it never, ever existed. Or Sealand, an abandoned gun platform off the English coast that a British citizen has claimed as his own sovereign nation, from which he issues legitimate passports and has crowned his wife as a princess. Or entire Russian cities that for years did not appear on any maps at all. Bonnet's book is a charming and fascinating compendium of geographical oddities that make for really great reading. I am a geographer by heart, so this is like book candy for me.
Really, really fun stuff. It's Unruly Places, Lost Spaces, Secret Cities, and Other Inscrutable Geographies by Alistair Bonnet. Next up.
This is a book called Tomlinson Hill, the remarkable story of two families who share the Tomlinson name, one white and one black. And it's by Chris Tomlinson. It's the stunning story of two families, one black and one white, who trace their roots to a slave plantation that bears their name. Internationally recognized journalist Chris Tomlinson grew up hearing stories about his family's abandoned cotton plantation in Falls County, Texas. Most of the tales lionized his white ancestors for pioneering along the Brazos River. His grandfather often said that the family slaves loved them so much that they also took Tomlinson as their last name. LaDainian Tomlinson, football great and former running back for the San Diego Chargers, spent part of his childhood playing on the same land that his black ancestors had worked as slaves. As a child, LaDainian believed the hill was named after his family, and not until he was old enough to read a historical plaque did he realize that the hill was named for his ancestors' slaveholders.
Wow.
Tomlinson Hill traces the true and very revealing story of these two families, from the beginning in 1854 when the first Tomlinson, a white woman, arrived, to 2007 when the last Tomlinson, LaDainian's father, left. The book unflinchingly explores the history of race and bigotry in Texas.
That sounds fascinating. Mm. Tomlinson Hill, the remarkable story of two families who share the Tomlinson name, one white, one black, by Chris Tomlinson. And good stuff. Next up.
Next is, it's kind of part memoir, part travelogue, and this is a fun, light book called Travels with Casey by Benoit Denizet Lewis. And he starts the book by saying, I don't think my dog likes me very much. He confesses this at the beginning of his journey with his 9-year-old Labrador mix, Casey. Over the next 4 months, 32 states and 13,000 miles in a rented motorhome, Denizet Lewis and his canine companion take a funny, touching cross-country RV trip straight into the country's relationship with our dogs, a country with the highest rate of dog ownership in the world. Casey and owner hang out with wolf dogs in Appalachia, search with a dedicated rescuer of stray dogs in Missouri, spend a full day at a cookie dog park in Manhattan, and get pulled over by a canine cop. And then there are the pet psychics, the dog-wielding hitchhikers, and two nosy women who took their neighbor to court for allegedly failing to pick up their dog's poop. I kid you not. I can't believe I just said that word on the radio.
Well, you did. That's okay.
Travels with Casey is an idiosyncratic blend of memoir and travelogue coupled with an exploration of our very quirky dog-loving America.
Absolutely. Good stuff. And we're going to be talking later on. That book sounds great. We're going to be talking later on with a woman by the name of Laurel Brayton, who has written a book about how our dogs and their insecurities show our insecurities and how we can make both of us better.
Oh, so interesting.
We'll talk about that. It's a fascinating conversation. Okay, next.
All right, and the word I said isn't one of those words that's going to get the station in
trouble. See that big red button?
I would reach over for that. I was just looking at that big red button.
My Family Feud button there, No, we don't need that for that.
So next, I brought in, this is a young adult book. It's called Conversion by Catherine Howe. I love Catherine Howe. She's written a couple books for adults, which I've loved both of them. But this one is for teenagers. It's senior year at St. Joan's Academy in Danvers, Massachusetts, and school is a pressure cooker. Colleen Rowley and her friends are expected to do it all, apply for college, get good grades, keep an active social life. But then the girls at this elite school start having problems. First, it's Clara Rutherford, who suddenly falls into uncontrollable tics in the middle of class. Her mystery illness quickly spreads to her closest clique of friends. Then more students and symptoms follow, seizures, hair loss, and violent coughing fits. St. Joan's buzzes with rumor. Rumor blossoms into full-blown panic. Soon the media descends on Danvers as everyone scrambles to find something or someone to blame. Pollution, stress, are the girls faking? Only Colleen, who's been reading The Crucible for extra credit, comes to realize what nobody else has. Danvers was once Salem Village, where another group of girls suffered from a similarly bizarre epidemic 3 centuries ago. A chilling mystery ensues. What's really happening to the girls at St. Joan's?
Conversion by Catherine Howe.
And lastly, I have a book. It's a picture book for children. It's called Anna and Solomon. It's written by Elaine Snyder and illustrated by Harry Bliss. And it's a lovingly wrought picture book that shows the immigration story of one family inspired by the true story of the author's grandparents. And the book begins in Russia in 1897 when a young man named Solomon falls in love with and marries a beautiful young woman named Anna. But Russia is a dangerous place to live at that time for a Jewish family. So Solomon moves to the United States, where he works and saves until he has enough money to send Anna a ticket for her voyage across the ocean. But when Solomon goes to meet Anna's ship, her younger brother is waiting for him instead of Anna. Solomon takes in her brother and saves up again until he can send the money for Anna's passage a second time. But this time Anna's older brother is waiting when the ship finally arrives. When Solomon sends the money a third time and Anna's mother arrives, Solomon wonders if he will ever see his dear wife again. And I'm sure that's a story that many families might be familiar with. You keep sending the money, someone else appears. And we're actually going to have Harry Bliss in the store on July 31st, along with a taping of the book show.
Yes, we're very excited.
Very excited about that. Harry and fellow illustrator Nora Krug are this year's recipients of the Sendak Fellowship, which is a program set up by Maurice Sendak before his death to support children's book illustrators by allowing them to spend 6 weeks away from it all to work on their art. And we're so lucky because they get to spend those 6 weeks in our neck of the woods. And so this event has kind of stemmed from that project. So,
well, we're looking forward to that event. It's on the 31st of July. Anna and Solomon is the name of the book. Elaine Snyder and Harry Bliss will be there. And I believe we'll be on this show on Monday.
Next Monday.
Yep. For more information on Battenkill Books, you can go to their website, battenkillbooks.com, battenkillbooks.com. Better yet, go visit them at 15 East Main Street in Cambridge, New York. Plan to stay a very, very long time because you will be taken in by the loving embrace of the place. Connie, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week for the big event.
Sounds good.
Great. Thanks, Joe. Thank you so much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.